It's Thursday, April 23rd, 2020, and I'm Dave Sobel. Today, an interview with Peter Melby, CEO of Greystone Technology, an MSP in Denver who has launched the MSP Stimulus Pledge at mspstimuluspledge.com. The pledge states that MSPs will avoid layoffs, pay bills on time, not increase owners' compensation, not make demands of vendors because of the current conditions, and run businesses intended to create a strong foundation. This is my interview to learn more, as I certainly had questions, and there is my Why Do We Care segment at the end. This is the business of tech. What's the goal of the program?
Most of us are running our businesses by these principles anyway. We all recognize that we are payroll-heavy companies for the most part, and payroll-heavy companies are well supported by the government in this current stimulus program. At the same time, there are a lot of questions about how MSPs operate and where MSPs focus on people. And so it's designed to be a nonpartisan, camaraderie-driving public display of the values that we're adhering to. And there's really three audiences that we hope to reach. First of all, I had no idea if it would resonate with people. And as I started talking to some peers, they said, yeah, we're in line for this funding. We don't really know what it means. We don't know what's going to be forgiven and what's not. But our team members and our clients are starting to have some assumptions about what it means. And we're just trying to figure it all out. And then I saw some MSPs who were looking at it and saying, great, free money. As I talked with peers more and more, we came to the idea that we need to recognize that this money isn't earned and that we need to be fiscal stewards of it. And so as we went back to our own teams to talk about what that meant, we realized there probably is a broader audience for this. The audience is threefold, as I said. It's our teams, first and foremost. How do we show our teams that, you know, collectively, that MSPs are great places to work, and specifically our MSPs are places to work that really are invested in the people. And we recognize that it's not the business owners, you know, that make the MSP industry. It really is the team members. The second audience is our customers. We're not trying to flaunt it to customers, but the more that we gain exposure, both as an industry and as individual MSPs, there are a couple of benefits. The first one is the MSP industry in general. I think is well suited on the other side of this to drive a larger percentage of IT management than in-house staffing. It's the rising tide, you know, lift all boats kind of scenario, that the more prominent the MSP industry is, and especially if we come together and say, yeah, we're the ones who are supporting our teams through this. We're the ones who are moving the economy forward. We are this cottage industry. So demonstrating to our clients that we're paying our bills, we're keeping our teams staffed up. There's some selfishness in that. Don't come and ask us to take a huge haircut just because, quote unquote, you know, just because everybody's doing it. I'll be perfectly honest that some of the motive is very self-serving. We want people to see where our money is going. We want full transparency about it as well, which is where, you know, that list of values came from. The third audience is the MSP market, as one of the larger scale MSPs. And so we wanted to just lead by example.
What would success look like with this program as a goal?
I'll be honest. I think that my expectations for success and our expectations for success are pretty low. And by that, I will say that we've already achieved them. Our teams, to see them rally around these concepts, to see them understand and dig in and really share what's happening, to be proud of the industry that they work in and the companies that they work for, like, that's a success. There is no specifically tangible return that comes from it. But the effort that we did put into it has been worth it, because the camaraderie, we're approaching about 1,000 jobs that are pledged to be protected.
How are you holding members accountable to the program?
I do a talk at a lot of technology conferences and not, called Boss or Babysitter. And it's about what it takes, you know, to trust employees. There's no better accountability than the public and then the teams. I mean, we are trusting them, but we're also trusting them that their teams are going to know. So their teams are going to look at it and say, wait, if you're not holding it to these values, if you're doing this, but you don't really care about it, that's going to be worse than not pledging at all.
So what happens when someone who signed the pledge finds they need to lay somebody off?
We have a fiduciary responsibility to our organizations and to our staff to run the team as well. Their responsibility has to be to the integrity of their organization. That is where you look at it and say, all right, to whatever economic extent possible, you can't kill your business just to save one person or to uphold, you know, one line on a pledge that people look at and say, yeah, that those are my values. That's my spirit. That's what I want to do. I'm in. So that's again where the, you know, just trusting the intent comes in. We have to be very, very careful to not put up with poor performance, you know, at the same time. And so this doesn't at all excuse organizations from saying, oh, our hands are tied. We can't hold people accountable for their own performance within our organizations.
Is there any component of this that is financial support to one another to ensure the pledge is met?
So it's not designed to be a fiscally supported program in any ways. If for some reason the values of it were compromised, you know, or the integrity of it was somehow massively misinterpreted in the market, we would probably come out and say as such and remove it. I don't think there's any value in the market to perpetuate something that's not true and honest. There's nothing specific about economic support between team members. The one thing that I will say is there's a big gap right now between people who have gotten assistance and people who haven't. There's been a lot of working together and sharing of experiences, advice, connections, industry contacts, financial contacts to help everybody get the support that they need.
So you've established this through June. What's going to happen at the end of that time period?
The stimulus is designed as a short-term solution. As much as we all hope for the fact that the economy fell off the cliff and it comes back just as fast, it's not going to happen that way. It is going to be a gradual recovery. But where I see a lot of benefit in the stimulus is that it gives us time to reorient and to put some rapid innovation in place. Companies need to be able to stand on their own. I mean, we're entrepreneurs. This is not the time to capitalize on people's pain. This is the time to add to a solution and to provide solutions that people can hear. And we all needed a little bit of time while everyone freaked out, including ourselves, you know, about what's happening. I very much appreciate that. But I do hope that by June, we have a lot more clarity about what happens. And I know that the intent of the stimulus is not how to sustain all of our companies in irresponsible business practices long-term. It's how do we keep, you know, businesses from making really reactionary decisions when we don't know what's coming. I don't know what's coming in post-June. Most MSP owners recognize that we can have tremendous value in this. And I've always said that MSPs should be recession-proof industry for paying attention. Because in a down economy, we have value. In an up economy, we have value. I think what we all didn't expect is what happens when there is no economy, you know, when no one's doing anything. And that's where I see this is helping us to bridge that gap. At some point, our innovation has to kick in, and we just have to be smart companies that stand on our own two feet.
So why do we care? Peter's position on doing this for his team makes sense. It was his first audience he mentioned. That's what good company leadership does, and so this is a strong way of publicly doing it. And Peter's reliance on public accountability by his own employees shows his thinking. I had initial concerns that this was a signal to the vendor community, but Peter's position made clear that isn't his thinking. I did ask about any intentions to lobby the governments on behalf of the group, and that's not in the plan. As I've been speaking consistently about regulation in our space, I'll observe that there isn't lobbying going on by any trade organization I'm aware of that thinks about this community in this way. There certainly is tech lobbying, but not for service providers. That's a missed opportunity to both help and lead, but not a criticism of this effort. If you're interested in the pledge, visit mspstimuluspledge.com. Thanks for listening. If you have feedback, let me know on the various social channels or reach out at mspradio.com. If you value this kind of content, you can support MSP Radio on Patreon by visiting patreon.com/mspradio. We use our Give What You Want model to support in whatever way you think makes sense. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.